You're listening to DraftKings Network. You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It is so very rare, Stugatz, and so very exciting to come in to do this show on a Monday in August, and we have one of the rarest of most delightful things in sports, which is the aggressive handshake, where we can overreact to coaches, not since Jim Schwartz. Was it Schwartz and Harbaugh?
I think it was Schwartz and Harbs, yeah.
We've been able to talk for days about the aggressive handshake, and I feel like Mike Ryan wishes that he was still somehow doing Mic'd Up, the Chelsea podcast, so that he could do reams of shows about Conte. Have you seen this, Stugatz? It's a very short manager, please tell me the backstory here, because all I'm delighting in is how aggressive the handshake was. Conte wanted to sneak out of there without making eye contact. What's the other guy's name? Tuchel,
however your heart desires. So the backstory is, number one, it's one of the fiercest rivalries in the Premier League, Tottenham versus Chelsea. Two London clubs don't get along, have had very contentious matches over the last few years, especially the rivalry's somehow been ratcheted up. But Antonio Conte, as a little extra dash, used to manage Chelsea quite successfully, won several trophies over at Chelsea. He went to Italy, and now he is back in the Premier League, and he is managing Chelsea's hated rival, Tottenham Hotspur. Antonio Conte is known for histrionics on the sideline. He's Italian. He's very passionate. He loves celebrating goals.
He looks like the caricature of what I would imagine a cartoon foreigner of a coach. In emotion, in size, kind of crazed.
Yep. Soccer coaches switch clubs every year, it feels like, and yet when they get to these clubs, they've never been more intense about these clubs.
Yeah, yeah. They have deep passion.
They bleed that blue until they bleed red, until they bleed that green, until they bleed that black.
It's a fairly recent phenomenon, too, that's actually happened with more transient Chelsea coaches, where you don't go to your club's, like, biggest rival. You at least respect that portion.
Well, there's, like, a buffer usually now. You go to, like, some other club, and then you can go coach the rival, as long as you've gone through the buffer first.
Jessica, were you laughing at just that transactional nature of all that stuff, or were you laughing at how sleepy Chris Cody sounded coming to the microphone?
I feel like I made a decent point there. Why are you coming after me?
It just sounded tired.
I can't even live. Yeah.
It just sounded like you emerged straight from bed to make
it. That's all. Rubbing sleep out of his eyes while he was making
Mondays are rough around here for me.
Your eyes are so puffy
for
right
me
now.
Me too. For everyone. Mm-hmm. Looks like you just had a bang.
I actually had a calm weekend too.
What's wrong
too.
With your eyes?
Stugatz, you're called, like, this is bad. This is getting bad. It's that bad?
When it's coming from me, I mean, I had a nice weekend. I slept a little bit. I mean, I didn't travel. I didn't get on an airplane.
That's what I mean. I actually had a nice weekend, too. Like, I didn't even... This is just me.
Looks
rested.
Like you had a nice morning.
No.
Anyway, I'm sorry to have interrupted you. Witty, you must have loved it, too.
Oh, it's tremendous. And it was born out of... those very same histrionics that Antonio Conte is known for. So he is like the most effusive celebrator of a goal, perhaps in the world. Just leaps into the arms of his coaching staff, and it's 2-1 against Southampton. Like, it's not even a big goal.
Something that I loved when he was managing Chelsea.
Right.
Something he would crowd surf. It was insane.
So the origins...
Also, very good hair transplants.
Oh, amazing. Go
really? That's a hair transplant.
Yeah, excellent.
Go back and look at a picture of Antonio Conte as a player. It looks like a different person.
I wouldn't say they're good. I mean,
no, they're fantastic.
They serve their purpose.
No, you have to see it before.
You should see the transformation. It's unbelievable. So the kind of needle between them begins when there's a goal that Tottenham scores, and it should not have been a goal because there was a foul in the buildup. And so the Chelsea manager,
and
Thomas
a player was
Tuchel,
offside in the eye line of the goalkeeper.
Wasn't offside for me, but it was a foul. it's not worth arguing. But like,
what is the buildup?
It seems like it is worth arguing.
No, it wasn't. It's not worth arguing.
It's not worth arguing.
It should have been a goal.
We both agree that it shouldn't have been a goal.
It shouldn't have been a goal.
Serious question: is the buildup like the things that happen leading up to the goal?
Yeah. But this was like the very first thing that happened. Like Tottenham completed like 15 passes after that. But so there's a challenge, should have been a foul, wasn't given. So Thomas Tuchel is screaming. He's getting in the way of Antonio Conte's amazing celebrations. And so the two of them get after it. They have to be separated. Then another controversial goal towards the end of the game results in Spurs getting an equalizer. And then
you miss Tuchel sprinting past Antonio Conte.
Oh, yes,
and he would have tripped him. And then he goes to Instagram afterward, right?
Yeah.
And that was not fake. He actually did this.
So after the 1-1, when they fight, Chelsea score a second goal to go 2-1 up. And Tuchel, who is not known for these celebrations, goes flying past him. The one thing that, having been to Stamford Bridge, the two coaching areas are very close together. And so Tuchel goes running past.
But he's
past.
Going to bother him,
oh,
right?
Of course, he's doing this because he's never done that before.
One's Italian,
runs to the corner.
One's Italian, one's German. They celebrate appropriately. So this was very out of character for Thomas Tuchel, who in his own right has been a very successful Chelsea manager, won the Champions League, and he darts past Antonio Conte in ways that I've never seen Thomas Tuchel celebrate. And Conte actually put that still later after what happened during the handshake on Instagram saying, "Had my head been up, I would have tripped you." In two languages, very helpfully. So then another controversial goal. Chelsea are winning 2-1, and then at the death, Tottenham score off a corner. However, that was another controversial goal because a Tottenham player pulled a Chelsea player with very long hair down by his hair. Could have been a red card, but no sending off. They even VAR'd this. The goal stands, and Spurs get a pretty decent 2-2 result considering the fact that they were down 2-1 at the death. Then the handshake. And it looked like it was just going to be a drive-by handshake between Conte and Tuchel, but Tuchel holds on to Conte's hand, pulls him close, looks him dead in the eye.
Skeletal grip. It was stunning to see. Everyone, what are you looking at me like that for, Jessica? What happened? It was just
Monday, Dan. It was getting the sleep out of my eyes.
Yeah.
It was
skeletal grip was very.
He's a writer.
Emotive. Yeah.
Yeah.
Honestly, this is not a friendly comparison to Thomas Tuchel, but it was very Trumpy. I don't know when Donald Trump small goes hands. In for the handshake. No, not the small hands, but he does the pull thing. He does the pull, the very aggressive pull.
But
like very.
Conte wanted to get away from him, and there would be no getting away from this vice-like grip.
Oh,
No, players had to jump in, be separated. Managers had to be separated. Assistant coaches came and started jawing. Chelsea's captain Cesar Azpilicueta, Dave, who played for Antonio Conte, got in the face of Antonio Conte. There's some history there because Conte didn't necessarily have the greatest separation from the Chelsea players. So the holdovers, not the biggest fans. And you have another classic at the bridge. They're dubbing it Battle of the Bridge Part 2 because there was a Part 1 where the players got very contentious. And we finally had something that made us feel something on a Sunday morning for the first time in months.
I appreciate all of the backstory. All I care about is aggressive handshake silliness, how silly men can be. Just all of it, because this will be talked about quite a bit, even though it's just stupid.
So emotional. Do you guys remember when Jim Harbaugh and Jim Schwartz had a very aggressive handshake?
Yeah, Steve Martin also.
Steve Martin, yeah.
Sleep
yeah.
It's a Monday.
I've been trying to come up with a Kantian philosophy joke for the last 5 minutes, so I wasn't really paying attention.
If you want to hear this handshake covered in more detail, we are very proud to relaunch the Cooligans brand. If you're a network subscriber, you've seen a couple of shows there, but we got a whole new graphic package. Christian and Alexis is Cuban, by the way, bring the New York flavor to soccer, and we're very happy to have that. They will premiere inside of our main feed so you guys can sample it. It's a very good soccer show, so please check it out.
It seems like Tuchel would take this guy to the woodshed. Like, if they actually squared off and there was a fight, are you saying no, Whitty?
I think you're comparing their physicality. I think you're using Thomas Tuchel's very kind of rough, jagged German appearance.
Right.
But I think that Antonio Conte is one of the hardest men in the history
Conte
of football.
Conte would be a bit of a spider monkey crawling up his neck and delivering rabid rage.
Jake Paul said that Tuchel looked right into Conte's
a lot
eyes.
About him. I mean,
and
have you? I believe you're not understanding what
you
he was
like as Nick Cronin
as
I mean.
Player. Well, I mean, he's a bit of a fire hydrant.
Not far away.
Really?
He's not far away from Nick Cronin.
He's gonna fight you to the death.
He will absolutely.
Yeah, there's a considerable reach advantage. But like Jake Paul said, Tuchel had no fear. He was looking dead into Antonio Conte's eyes.
Well, he was demanding that Conte look him in the eyes, but Conte kept staring at sort of his navel.
Yeah. Well, there's like I said, considerable reach and height advantages. But I think I'd also take Conte. Just he seems hard to kill. You'll set up defensively initially, and then one counter. That's all it takes.
Speaking of hard to kill, Miami's own from the hood, A-Rod.
I watched this last night.
Well, I want to talk about this. He sat down with Jeter and touched him a lot on the shoulder. It was what I saw was uncomfortable. It was A-Rod being self-deprecating and Jeter sort of forced to be there to promote the captain.
Jeter's so uncomfortable on TV.
He
like
is.
I've never felt like A-Rod is so good at TV unless when he's sitting right next to Jeter. It's
Jeter
bad.
Makes him better.
Yeah, it's
yeah. Yeah.
What do you mean Jeter makes him better?
By
comparison.
He also makes him more likable.
Like A-Rod's not great unless he's sitting next to Jeter on TV.
You just feel Jeter is saying words the whole time and all you hear is, I don't want to be here.
Yeah. It really jumps off the screen. However, it made me watch that broadcast that I hadn't watched since its inception.
K-Rod.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. I prefer it over like normal television baseball broadcast just because I'm not that into the game, and I like the stat cast that they put up there. A-Rod had this thing going with his sleeve on the left hand where it was totally unbuttoned, but he didn't roll it up. You unbutton the sleeve to roll it up, but he didn't. He just had this out there. Like, it was just so... It was like a wizard's robe, a sleeve. It was just really distracting the entire time.
Do you guys struggle with this, the rolling up of a dress shirt? It's like, do you want to give... How many rolls up do you go before slide it past the elbow?
It's four
two
for
rolls.
Me. It's four for me. Right
see, four very tight
I like
rolls,
to do like, as few rolls as possible before you get it past the elbow. You know what I'm saying? I like to do like one roll
right.
and then just like, slide it up past the elbow. And
you want a tight wind for me. I like a tight wind so it's
one roll could be sharply sloppy, right?
Yeah.
But one roll is
what
very
you don't
sloppy.
Do
sloppy
is
yes.
you don't roll up one sleeve and let the other one just dangle like A-Rod had for several
they gotta
innings.
Be aligned.
It was very distracting. Almost as distracting as Michael Kay tossing the Fernando Tatis thing over to Alex Rodriguez.
Oh, nice.
It was funny to hear Jeter asked if he resented the one voter who didn't vote for him to go into the Hall of Fame. And A-Rod pipe in with, what about the 85% who didn't vote for me? Like, it's just
funny.
The end of the act is going to be a lounge act, and it's going to continue to be something that people pay attention to. I saw that A-Rod went Spanish a couple of weeks ago. He was trying to, his Spanish is not great. I was stunned this weekend to see that Ben Affleck's Spanish is better than A-Rod's.
That's incredible, for real?
How?
I don't know.
Wow. Was that like Bennifer like phase two where he was showing all the self-improvement that he has done and in an effort to win her back, he learned better Spanish than A-Rod.
I will do everything better than A-Rod except for baseball. You mentioned the Tatis thing and I wanted to ask you guys a couple of things about this. First, have you guys noticed, Joe Sheehan wrote about this and I'd be curious what you guys think. The Dominican players they get caught at a really disproportionate rate. They're cheating at an unusual rate, given how they are in the big leagues. That's one part of this that I wanted to tackle. The other part is, does anyone outside of San Diego care? Because it's 80 games and the Padres dugout is mad about this, but I feel like we're almost totally immune to the steroid stuff.
I was just saying the same thing back here. Bonds and A-Rod can't get in the Hall of Fame, but the media seems to just be giving him, is it because he was hurt and he has this clause of like, oops, didn't mean to. Is that why the media doesn't care?
No one's buying his excuse.
Right.
But nobody's the ringworm.
To Dan's point, nobody's other than his clubhouse, you don't see a lot of people crushing him, but yet Bonds can't get in the Hall of Fame.
I actually thought A-Rod was really good at trying to subtly campaign to Hall of Fame voters, because it's a weird thing about baseball. It is so punitive in that sport compared to other sports. Look at all the, like, no one's going to hold DeAndre Hopkins out of the Hall of Fame. I just reminded you and the audience that DeAndre Hopkins is presently serving a PED suspension. It doesn't happen in the other sports. But in baseball, it shuts you out of the most exclusive club. It is a saying that you wear forever. And what Alex Rodriguez was saying, he kept dubbing it as a mistake. It wasn't a mistake. He intended to do it over the course of his
child's
career.
Play.
But he's like, why wouldn't people learn from me? Look how much I had to work just to have a second chance in terms of public perception. Who would take this risk considering how good they are at testing right now? And Tatis had a lot of things going for him. I was disappointed too, just because I wanted to see that Padres lineup. I love Fernando Tatis. I love that he wants to be a star. He wants the attention. He's charismatic. He's got a great smile. He lights up a room. God damn it. Why'd you do this, Fernando?
I don't know how many people care. This is a superstar in the sport.
Not many. I mean, they just don't. Listen, I'd like to see the Padres in the postseason with one of the most exciting stars, young stars,
but if that's true, Stugatz, then what were we yelling about for all those years? Like, what were we
doing? Well, they were breaking records, Dan, that most people thought were unbreakable.
Yeah, I guess. The legacy writers were angry that the records that they believed in and identified with for so long were going the way of Marty McFly at the end of Back to the Future. They were just fading away, and they were fading away at the hands of Brady Anderson. They their entire history of this sport was being washed away over the course of two summers, and they held incredible resentment. Resentment that is still stronger for them than it is for the likes of Fernando Tatis, and that part is very confusing to me.
Well, because once you've killed the history of the game, then the history is dead. And so there's really nothing left to preserve. And I think that's the feeling now, is that we've already gone through the life cycle of the history of this sport being dead. And so now I can't work up the same thing because it's already dead. I also think at the time, a lot of journalists were kind of made to look like boobs because they didn't see any of this coming. They didn't know it was happening. And so they're kind of playing catch up on, holy shit, this is happening under our nose and we didn't report this. We didn't say anything about it. It was only when Congress got into it that we actually reported stuff.
Once upon a time, those records meant something. You know that. I don't need to tell you. And now they don't really mean much. Like, if Sosa Maguire doesn't happen, do you know what a big story Aaron Judge is right now?
But you say those numbers don't matter, and I see that Pujols is going for 700, and Cabrera got 3,000, and longevity still matters, and the game changes, and I mean, we don't need to have the steroid conversation. I don't even know if I'm right about the fact. I'm guessing people in baseball do care that Tatis is about to lose half a season. I just, you've heard me marvel before at the fact that A-Rod keeps reinventing himself. We get very forgetful about the amount of judgment that we rain down on him when he was doing like orchestrated theatrics in the commissioner's office, kicking a briefcase to deny stuff, running to Francesa and lying. And last night on the broadcast, we're asking him, hey, talk to us about Tatis's suspension. You got one twice as long, A-Rod, the longest in the history of the sport.
With very little sense of irony, I thought. But, I mean, when you water it down by putting it through the A-Rod prism and his television personality, I actually thought that there was some very good there. You should see how the Padres clubhouse truly reacted when Mike Clevinger says, you have to grow up. Do you remember what happened with Mike Clevinger over in Cleveland?
That guy is scary, by the way.
What?
Clevinger.
He looks like a surfer.
Yeah, but it's the combination of look and name, Clevinger.
Yeah. I think it's just the name that Stugatz is
doing. He's got the long hair.
It's not the look.
He does.
His look is not that intimidating, but he is saying that Fernando Tatis has to grow up. And there was
Machado saying we got here without him.
Well, Machado's a, I mean.
What are you doing? What are you doing to Machado?
What am I doing? I'm trying to remove politics from the equation. Machado is a tough one in that clubhouse. Play the game the right way. He's the locker room leader. I disagree with his politics vehemently. I am bummed that we don't get to see that lineup with Soto in it. A bunch of conspiracy theories were out there. Did the Padres know? Because that was like a very aggressive move, considering all the money that they have tied up in Fernando Tatis, who already there might be some buyer's remorse because he had the accident. Now he's got the steroids thing. Everyone's worried about his maturity. But apparently the Padres didn't know about it until like we kind of knew about it. So put that conspiracy theory to bed.
Let me ask you guys, as the uniforms made an appearance, because it wasn't the teams, you don't give me Waddle or Tua or Tyreek Hill, I'm probably not going to watch your football game.
You smell that? Mm-hmm. That's McDaniel passing the sniff test.
Yep.
Already?
Yeah. You look good out there.
Yeah, that
sneaky,
for me.
Sneaky, good-looking guy.
Sideline posture is a key part of judging a coach.
He's no Philbin out there.
Great hoodie. Great posture.
Whoa, wait a minute.
Confidence.
You guys are in on the quarterback and the coach already.
Out there checking on injured players.
The quarterback.
Checking on players on one knee. He really cares.
By quarterback, you're talking about Thompson, right? Nice little game.
I was doing a fantasy draft last night with like some former Sports Illustrated coworkers.
A little early. You took Thompson?
No, but one of my former coworkers was on the board, and he's like, oh, I need you to back up quarterback, but I really don't want to pick Tua. And I was like unmuting myself on Zoom to defend Tua. And then I was like, I don't know why I'm doing radio right now. I was like, don't make me talk about the Dolphins. It's a Sunday. This is ridiculous.
Well, let's talk about your team then, because I thought you guys tell me some of your whatever it is from football that you were grabbing and either laughing about or interested in, because Pickett winning the end of the Steelers game. I like the 12
good.
The 12 Pickens years of too. Pickett of at the University of Pittsburgh.
Picking it.
And then Matt Areza, punt god. The Bills are going to – I'm going to hate that guy by the end of the season when they play the Dolphins, because he's going to just keep launching 80-yard punts to
if
totally change games.
If they're punting a lot, though, yeah, not so good for them.
The Bills down here never punt. I don't think we'll see Matt Areza when he plays the Miami Dolphins. He scored like 100 points every time they played the Dolphins the last 3 years.
What else from the weekend?
Never has a team needed a weapon so last.
Yeah, they don't need
so little.
I mean. The study part is he wasn't the first punter drafted. I heard the college football media, particularly the Shutdown Fullcast, hype up the punt god. He wasn't even the first punter taken. Seems impossible when he can hit 80 yarders.
Dude, punt god got hyped up so much last year. He had a college game day package before the season was even over. They literally did a package on a punter from San Diego State.
He mounted a Heisman campaign.
Hmm. I mean, they're bombs.
You don't see that.
It's
often.
Not really hard to understand. Like he's
the game
he's
of
kicking,
field. Possess- kicking, I mean, what happened? I felt like I cut you off. I pulled out from the sentence. I was saying it's a game of field position. I mean, that's what I was going to say.
Field possession, and then you
injected
on possession.
Then I realized that Dan was talking. Yeah, Monday morning, Chris. I mean, what can I tell you?
He kicks it from one end zone to the other.
That's what Josh Allen's arm punts are for, though. Waste of a draft pick.
I mean, Chris really got me rattled. He should apologize.
Sorry about that.
Me too. Apologize to me.
Sorry.
Accepted.
Was there any football that you guys were interested in?
All
Steelers game.
The Steelers game was great because, I mean, two Miami Hurricanes running backs scored touchdowns and showed some elusiveness. I actually had a lot of fun watching NFL preseason football despite the fact that nobody played. Nobody played.
I was excited to see the Packers-Niners game. Just I wanted to see how Jordan Love looks. He looked okay. He also at times looked very bad.
He does not look okay.
Trey Lance, watch out. That dude is good.
Yeah, second trade preseason.
He's scary, man.
I mean, he had every opportunity to take the job away from Jimmy Garoppolo last season. And we all agree that Jimmy Garoppolo... There's an obvious upgrade to be made there, and he wasn't ready last year. But I liked watching the bad quarterbacks that are fighting for jobs. I was dialed in. I'm gambling again. I was dialed into the Washington-Carolina game because there felt like it was a four-way quarterback battle. You had Darnold, P.J. Walker, Corral, and Baker Mayfield. Baker looked all right, which was pretty good. And then on the other side, you had Wentz, who still looks bad to me, and you had Sam Howell. I almost have the backdoor money line straight up win, but fell because of a 15-yard face mask that I'm still never going to forget.
Preseason
I saw a headline at the end of the weekend. Drew Locke and Geno Smith both put in good shifts, as Pete Carroll's like, oh no, you're doing quarterback competition preseason. Did you know that Justin Herbert has never played a single preseason snap? And I sort of thought, Well, that means he'll never play a preseason snap. Because if he's fine now, why would you ever play him in the preseason?
It's kind of weird because he wasn't the starter his first year. He only became the starter after someone punctured Tyrod Taylor's lung with a needle.
Whatever happened to the token first series for the starting quarterback?
Yeah, right. Bring that back.
Yeah,
I think Sean McVay killed it.
Punctured Tyrod Taylor's lung.
Good shout.
Is next week the dress rehearsal or is week three still the dress rehearsal?
I believe it's week two now, Mike.
Is there a dress rehearsal?
I don't think there are dress rehearsals anymore. I think they're done.
Week one.
I really think Sean McVay killed it. He was the first head coach that just decided not playing any of my starters all of preseason. Mm. And I think a lot of coaches have followed suit because Sean McVay is the genius coach guy. And so I think that you'll probably see maybe half the league play their starters, but I don't think you see most starters around the league for the entirety of preseason.
Starters were playing in Jacksonville, and Deshaun Watson was greeted with "you sick f- chants."
Yeah, that was good. That's a very efficient chant. His for, after having that much time to show contrition, for them to trot him out in a local television interview with a woman and have him choose the words he chose, "I'm very sorry to the women I have impacted."
It wasn't a local television interview. It was with the Browns in-house media. And Aditi Kinkabwala was the NFL reporter for like the AFC North. And now she works for the Browns. So that was completely orchestrated like within their organization to make sure that I'm sure he would know that the question was coming, I would assume, and then he didn't face outside media reports after that.
Can we examine that for a second? Can we examine the idea of a propaganda outlet getting its quarterback to act remorseful?
I mean, I think it's what probably any team would do. It's smart if you think that people aren't going to like know where it's coming from or question it. Yeah.
It fooled you. You thought it was an independent.
Yes, it fooled me that it wasn't independent, but it was still ham-handed.
Still going to be orchestrated.
Fed to someone, because why would that be the first interview that
right.
he does?
If Deshaun does an exclusive interview with an outlet that's outside of Cleveland Browns media, their hands are going to be all over it too. And there's going to be a negotiation, and it's going to be someone that they land on, if he ever does one, that Watson's camp wants to do it with. You could already draw conclusions as to who it might be, given on how the story was reported initially and throughout. This was yet another bad look in a series of bad looks. He admitted to what he did. So like, we're dropping the lie that he was completely innocent, but there are still, to me, not enough questions. Like, okay, now we know he did this. We're all okay with this. We have all made this decision. There's none of that. There's none of those pointed direct questions.
But don't you guys think it's interesting just the handling of the marketing aspects of this, where at no point had he shown remorse, and then the Browns send out a statement that's from the organization saying he is deeply remorseful, when, again, at no point had anyone, not the arbiter, not anyone, seen anything in the way of remorse. And then what you get is one sentence of remorse with the word impacted in it. After all the months you've had to think about how this is going to be addressed, that's how you address it?
This is going to be sickening logic, but this is what I think is happening. Deshaun Watson knew he did this shit the entire time, but he had to maintain he didn't, not just because he thought he could win his NFL investigation, but because he was subject to lawsuit. You can't have your legal counsel's probably advising you, hey, in the public eye, let's not admit to doing these things right now. We're trying to keep these settlements low. And to my knowledge, there's still one pending lawsuit out there that hadn't been settled. She may have hit the jackpot right now with these public comments in this NFL investigation that's going to go into it, because now you have Deshaun Watson, although still using very careful language, admitting that this did happen while everyone else had settled.
Have you ever wondered if Chet Holmgren might be a descendant of Abraham Lincoln, or if a UFC fighter could beat an alien in a fight? You might have not, and that's okay. I probably have thought about the UFC one, to be honest. But Shea Serrano and Jason Concepcion from the Six Trophies podcast have. If you love basketball, and more importantly, if you love fun, you gotta listen to Six Trophies, where Jason and Shea serve up the biggest moments from all around the NBA with their brand of unbridled joy, banter, and pop culture side quests. Each week, They hand out 6 pop culture themed trophies for 6 basketball related activities. Stuff like the Denzel Washington and Training Day trophy, given out to the player or team having the best week around the NBA. Or the Lauryn Hill You Might Win Some, But You Just Lost One trophy for the team or player that just can't get it together. Plus a bunch more trophies for all the good, bad, or just plain head-scratching moments from all around the NBA. This playoff season, you want to make 6 Trophies your go-to companion podcast. Follow 6 Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Don Levitard.
Dan, you hear that type of stuff. Tom Brady went down with an Achilles the only time he got hurt in his entire career, and I was fist pumping in my living room at home because the Jets finally had a chance to win a division. I mean, I'm sorry. I'm not going to apologize for that.
I'm sorry. I'm not going to apologize for that is one of the most amazing sentences you've ever uttered.
Stugatz.
From the maker of Trust Me, Don't Trust Me comes, I'm sorry, but I'm not going to apologize. You are amazing.
Thank you. I know.
You are a flabbergasting delight. You happen upon genius comedy by accident.
That's my gift.
This is the Don Levitard Show with the Stugatz.
We're presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use code Dan for a special offer when you sign up. That's code Dan, only at DraftKings Sportsbook.
We've got an assortment of vacations here over the course of the summer. So Billy has been in and out here, and I wanted to talk to him about what's going on with the Marlins, because it's 15 games now where they have scored 3 or fewer runs. The record is 19. They've gone totally impotent offensively, and there were a number of Marlins related things that I wanted to discuss with him, because the few Marlins fans that there are plenty pissed off. The other day they got charged twice for a doubleheader. They had to go in and out of the stadium, and I know all the teams do this, but come on, what are we doing? You got to pay twice to go.
You got to go in, you gotta go pay back twice. Out,
they make the new guys crowd, wait Mike. All day. Yeah. Yes.
No.
Yes. Yes.
Since when did they start doing that?
No, they've been doing that. Everybody does that.
What?
But,
no.
But they shouldn't do it when you only have 7,000 fans.
In college, I love the doubleheader. I saw David Weathers return to a Marlins uniform for one game. I got to see 2 losses.
I think actually what's going on is worse than Marlins fans being outraged or Marlin fan being outraged, the couple that there are. They're just indifferent right now. That's how I feel. Like, I couldn't be less interested.
I do not think that that's what was happening. The trading deadline, I think there was some hope there. I thought they wanted the team to do something.
They were just 5 games out, what felt like a month ago. They were playing well. They had this ace pitcher. There was hope. And
Still have him.
In the last month, all that hope has been ripped away. And I've seen segments of Marlins Twitter long for the days of Jeffrey Loria. People were posing.
People were faking hope. People were like, wow, we're 5.5 out. We should be in this. But you're really watching the team. This team stinks. Well, this offense, not good. It's just like, okay, maybe we're 5.5 out, but this team is not close at
it's
all.
Hard to be excited and have faith when you're in that same division with 3 really good teams.
Who are willing
to spend a lot more money than you
do. Who are willing
to
spend. Yeah. So like the crux of the argument in saying that they missed Jeffrey Loria was Loria didn't spend either. But now you have an owner that's spending even less. And there isn't this great farm that you were supposed to totally rebuild. There really isn't a path for them getting out of this over the next few years. They probably have to trade Sandy to get onto that path. And it's like Sugat's
don't
outline.
Don't trade Sandy. The division is insane. Do not trade Sandy yet. Just don't stop it. Stop it.
Well, is Bruce Sherman
stop it?
Is Bruce Sherman a worse owner than Jeffrey Loria?
You need to stop it. You just got here 6 minutes ago, and now you're trading Sandy. Knock it off.
Yeah, well, I started gambling 6 minutes ago, and let me tell you something. I'm fading the Marlins often. That is a very bad baseball team.
But they traded Stanton, Yelich, and Ozuna to retool the club. You can't now trade Sandy, right? I mean,
yeah, but we saw that out. It didn't, like, they got to the playoffs on the back of some of those
moves.
Will
you stop it? Stop it. They're going to sign.
Billy's not here, Dan. So.
He's a short thing. Like, he's... Billy's not here. Billy, we will get Billy's thoughts on this. We will put them in a
just
local
don't know
hour.
When. Yeah.
At some point this week, Billy will give you his Marlins thoughts. But Whitty was off a couple of days last week, and I now want to get criticisms from people about the show when they're not on the show. How many of these do you have, Whitty?
I have three of them.
Huh.
Three observations that are critical of whom?
Just the general conversation, I would say. I wouldn't say it's directed at any one individual. You're the subject of one. Mike was the subject of another, and the general show's inability to know who Jamal Williams was really bothered me for some reason.
Okay, number three.
You could just say me.
Oh, yeah, you know what? Yeah, so this one's aimed at Jessica. How in the world did you confuse Jamal Adams for Jamal Williams? I mean, this is a Detroit Lions thing. Never thought of Jamal Adams in the context of the Lions. Jamal Williams went viral on social media. That video had like 6 million views. I barely know any Lions, and somehow I knew that that was Jamal Williams.
I think it was the first name.
Yeah.
Well, I actually realized after I said it, because I was wondering the same thing, Woody, because they don't even play the same position. I had, for some reason, written Jamal Adams down on my notepad. So I think I was reading.
Just randomly? You wrote something on a notepad for no reason?
Yeah, I guess. And I just read
that. What else does it say on your notepad right now?
Right now it says athletes who connote birds.
Oh, nice.
Wait, are you doing your own show over there?
Larry Bird, Robin Lopez, Lynn Swan.
Ted Hendricks.
Jay Cutler. Yeah.
Stork.
It's a good show.
I feel like we've done that show a number of times.
Well, that's why it didn't make it to air. But
we're trying to find the elusive first name bird, last name bird.
Exactly.
It's a holy grail.
Jay Ajayi? No. Two J's.
Whittingham, what was the second observation?
I was screaming at my podcast platform with the conversation you were having about the New York Mets ratings. I was shouting. I was stood in the shower. I'm like, I need to look up local television ratings. And look up local television ratings. I did, Dan. So here's what happened. So you were making the argument that the Mets game doing 555,000 viewers or somehow a small audience, comparing it to a nationally televised, highly questionable. The New York Mets doing a 5 rating on a local regional sports network is astounding in New York. That is so if you did the math, from like 550,000 in New York, that's like 410,000 in LA, 350,000 in Chicago, and you kind of go on and on. That's basically the equivalent of a 6 or 7 million viewer audience nationwide. This is on one regional sports network that is also playing a game at the same time against the Yankees, who also draw a segment of the baseball viewing audience. So for a Mets game to do 550,000 is incredible.
Okay, you are insane with rage. Thank you for correcting.
I did correct him at the time, but it was a lot kinder than you.
I did not realize that I had summoned this kind of passion from you, and I stand corrected. I'm sorry.
Nerd.
Is that directed at me or at him? Or
no, it's at him.
Yeah.
In winning, he actually lost. He doesn't know that.
You know what? I'll take the L. That's like roughly a 5 rating. Jets games do a 7. And, like, that's the NFL. Okay. Barely the NFL. Yes. But still, like, the NFL is so much bigger than anything, any other television product. For a baseball game to do something similar to an NFL game is insane.
How and the NFL does try their best to make sure that the Giants and Jets aren't playing at the same time.
How can you be an asshole in a single syllable like that?
I like emphasizing the when you say a singular thing. That's not
a good
move.
And what is your number one observation from your time off?
You guys said that Al Pacino was the worst kisser in the history of the movies. For me, it's Tom Cruise. I saw the movie Top
Pacino's
Gun.
Sloppy, man.
Part of the homoeroticism of that movie is how bad Tom Cruise is at kissing in that movie. It like there is the most loveless relationship in the history of the movies, yeah, in the movie Top Gun, you can tell when he's kissing women in that movie that he's just thinking about the boys.
No. No.
That, like, it's loveless. It is passionless.
The boys.
He's singing about the boys.
Yeah. Hanging with the boys. There's a whole song dedicated to it during the volleyball scene. I will say it's the second most loveless relationship of that franchise behind the Jennifer Carpenter one.
How can Tom Cruise possibly be a worse kisser than Al Pacino? That's not true. Put it on the poll at Lebatard Show. Worse movie kiss.
God damn it, Jennifer Connelly. God.
Tom Cruise in Top Gun.
Jennifer Carpenter was in White Chicks.
Or Al Pacino.
I saw White Chicks again over the last few
years. No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
Really?
Let me tell you, does not hold up. This movie does not get made. I mean, I felt bad laughing at it.
Rory Sparrow.
What's a Rory?
It's a bird.
I know, but they're
wait,
the sparrow's no, a bird. Rory's not a bird. Yeah,
look it up. I mean,
Rory bird?
Yeah.
You've got the
I feel like I'm close.
Rory is not a bird.
Oh, that's so disappointing.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.